This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Well, it's been a week, man. I've been going with Charlie, of course. Charlie's chilling right now, sleeping on the bed here, and things are going great. And I just want to thank everybody who's been following along here on the Tom Green Interview. I'm loving this podcast. Big thank you to Audio Up for the opportunity. And, you know, listen, this has been a wild and crazy and strange year for all of us, and I've thrown myself into this world where I'm out here on my own with Charlie Choppa, as Joe Rogan calls him, Chopper, and just loving life. As much as it's been a tragedy this year, I am trying to find a way to make sense of it all in nature. Just was at this incredible place called Shiprock, New Mexico, and it is the most incredible rock formation here in the New Mexican desert, towering above the desert floor. You've seen it in movies like The Avengers and Transformers and The Lone Ranger. And a big part of my adventure here is about photography and videography, and I hope you guys are following along on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/TomGreen, where I'm really making every effort to capture the most stunning natural beauty that I can find by actually driving to these places that I'm researching, whether it's ghost towns, Native American ruins. I just spent the most incredible time at Chaco Culture in New Mexico, which is ruins that were built in the year 850 by the Pueblo people. And it's just really been quite a eye-opening thing. And it's been moving at times. It's been spiritual at times. I've felt energy that is just a sort of a very sort of strange, all-consuming, positive, warm energy that really has kind of sort of blanketed me at times, because I'm here in these beautiful places alone with nobody here but Charlie, and of course, interacting with you guys online, which has been comforting, and I appreciate it. But there's been something very spiritual about it. Really, I feel like very connected with the planet right now. Not to sound all hippy-dippy, but I'm sounding all hippy-dippy because it's true. When you're in these beautiful places and alone, and you just have the time to soak it up and soak it in, it's an amazing thing. I've got my recording studio with me. I'm making very soft ambient synthesizer music that I'm adding to it to try to add to that energy and tone. And the reason I'm really working so hard to go to these places is not just because it's really kind of an enjoyable experience for me, but I want to bring you guys with me. You know, we've got Tony Hawk on the show today. How cool is that? We're going to talk to Tony in a minute about what I'm sort of setting up right now and speaking to you guys about right now. But I'm here in my van. I'm in New Mexico. I've got a robust telephone system, you know, basically using a cellular telephone and plugged into a mixer. But regardless, it's pretty cool. Tony's calling. We're going to talk about what it's like to be out there on the road. Tony Hawk, of course, legendary skateboarder, the greatest of all time, the GOAT, right? And he just went on an RV trip himself. And, you know, he's a man that has spent the last 30 years or more traveling the world, going to skateboard demos and all sorts of competitions and events. And everything has stopped because of COVID. And so what did he decide to do? He decided to jump in an RV with his family and take off and do kind of what I'm doing right now. So I just want to say, guys, ladies, gentlemen, boys, girls, people of all ages, thank you very much for listening to this podcast. Tell your friends, please subscribe, and tell your friends to subscribe too. And take the link to this and send it out there into the world and let people know about the Tom Green interview. Amazing. All right. Here's Tony Hawk.
There you are. Got it. Okay. Just trying to... Sorry, what were you saying? You're in Mexico right now?
New Mexico. I'm in New Mexico. I was just... It could be on my end, the problem, because I'm in a van and, you know, cell service can be a little spotty, but it seems to be pretty good. But you hear me all right? Everything's good?
Yeah. I just couldn't... I was having a problem connecting my headphones.
Oh, okay. Cool. Thanks. Thanks for calling, man. I've been living in my van down by the river... for
it sounds like down by many rivers.
yeah, I've been actually having a blast traveling around and just doing videos and podcasts and stuff. But
that's awesome.
Appreciate you checking in on me, my friend. I know you've done some RVing this year, and how was that? Did you enjoy that? What? Yeah.
Well, it was super fun. I wasn't nearly on the rugged trail that you're on.
Uh-huh.
Mine was a little more cushy and a lot more people. We had, at one point, we had our whole family, so there's eight of us.
You were in like a big RV, right? Like a big...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what happened. We were trying to work out an RV trip just because all of our kids were home, obviously, from COVID and from college. And we never really have them as a captive audience. So I wanted to go do something with them that was more off the beaten path. And we said, hey, let's hit the Northwest, like Yellowstone, and we could go to Devil's Tower. And so we made a route. I started looking into RVs, and it was kind of hard to rent RVs a size that fits all of those people.
Yeah.
And then by pure coincidence, Jones Soda hit me up right around that time. And they said, hey, we would love to do something with you, maybe a campaign or something. And I just said, well, and they said, what do you have coming up? And I was like, I don't have anything coming up. No one has anything coming up, you know?
Yeah.
And I said, I'm going on this RV trip with my kids. If you want to, I don't know, follow us along, or we can, you know, we can make kind of what you're doing. Like, I kind of presented that to them.
Yeah.
And they immediately said, yes, they're like, we'll buy the RV. It'll be, you know, we'll buy it. It'll be ours when you're done with it. And if you don't mind having it wrapped in Jones Soda logos, like, it's on. And
nice.
It all happened like that.
Nice. So you went to a lot of national parks and
yeah, we went to Yellowstone. We went to Badlands. We went to, Devil's Tower. And stopped at a few skate parks along the way, but that started getting hectic because when we show up to a park, people would call their friends and all of a sudden it was a full crowd scene and it was in the middle of COVID and it was just like, oh, we can't do this anymore.
Right. You became a super spreader event.
Kind of. Yeah. It hadn't actually affected those areas yet, but it certainly has now.
Yeah. Yeah. Devil's Tower. That's Close Encounters, right?
Yeah, that's exactly where we went.
Yeah, that's amazing. I've not been there yet, but I was just at, like, a couple days ago at Shiprock, New Mexico, which is kind of like Devil's Tower. It's that rock that looks like Devil's Tower, but it's in Avengers. It's in Transformers.
Yeah, yeah.
It was the base in Airwolf. Remember Airwolf with Jan Michael Vincent?
Yeah. Yes.
Were you ever on Airwolf?
Great.
Were you ever on Airwolf, Tony? Did you ever meet Jan Michael Vincent back in the day, in the early days of skating? Were you ever?
No, but you know, he was in, he rode a motorized skateboard in Hooper.
Okay. Nice. Did he really? Okay.
And that is what I remember him best from.
Wow. Yeah. Cause back in the day, you know, you see Jan Michael Vincent on a skateboard. This probably wasn't a lot of skateboarding in movies and television back then.
Oh, and there's certainly no one had a motorized skateboard. I mean, this is late 70s, early 80s.
Right, right. Was that like one of the ones that had like a lawnmower engine on it? And he's like holding, holding like a some sort of a cable or
a
something.
Trigger.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah,
yeah. That's cool. So when you take off on the road like that and you go out into nature and do you sort of feel a sort of sense of I don't know, intense relaxation when you get out of the city? Are you a nature guy?
I am not really. I was never a big fan of camping and, you know, being out in the wild as a kid, just because it all seemed so scary and I wanted all my creature comforts. But I did enjoy the adventure the way that we did it. I can't say it was super relaxing because we did have literally six of our kids. We had all six of our kids
right
in the RV, and everyone's got a different agenda. You know, there were a couple disagreements, so it gets a little tense.
Oh, really? Like what kind of disagreements were they? Was it like, I want to go to the hot springs? No, I want to go to the skate park kind of thing.
No, it was more who had priority over the TV.
right.
You know, like, well my Switch, my Nintendo Switch is connected to this TV, so I'm already playing it. So you got to figure something else out.
Yeah, that's a completely different experience for sure, because you're in a sort of a small environment with a lot of people. I'm here, you know, with my dog, Charlie. My new dog, my puppy.
Do you guys have any disagreements like that?
A little bit, but nothing. It's more. She's a good girl. Actually, she's a good girl. Very good watchdog. It's crazy. Like a couple nights ago, we were surrounded by coyotes. I mean, they're all around. We're going pretty hardcore. We're staying in the middle of like nowhere in these like dispersed camping places. Like, meaning off in the desert, off in the mountains. Nobody around. I actually feel a little scared some nights, but it's cool. I'm enjoying it. Yeah, it's cool.
How do you feel about going back into crowds or society? I mean, beyond just COVID, I feel like, are you starting to get this a weird isolation where it seems scary to be hanging out with people again?
A little bit. You know, I was going to, the original plan when I got this van, I bought the van, so it's my van now. I'm living in the van now, okay? I still have my house and everything, but I will go back and check in on the place once in a while. But I plan on doing a lot of this, and, you know, part of it was just because I'd been sitting in the house by myself for so many months, and I wanted to get out and do something and, you know, doing some photography, doing some video. But I also, the part of the plan was to drive up to Canada and see the family. But I actually then just a few weeks ago just kind of decided to bail on that plan. I'm not going home for the holidays because I don't know. It's funny whenever you mention like, oh, I'm going to stick around here and wait for the vaccine. I don't want to go home and see my family for the holidays. I'm going to get all these comments it's a fake pandemic. I don't want to get into all that shit. But I did make the decision to not go home for the holidays, partially because I just think, you know, I think I just want to stay alone, be alone a little bit longer. And I do think it's going to be weird, you know, having spent the last, you know, decade touring, doing stand up. Let me flip that question around on you, because it's probably a very similar thing. You're touring constantly. You're skating large crowds for your entire life. Has this been kind of interesting to stop that? Has it changed?
Also, I had a lot of stuff planned. The first obligation to fall away during COVID, we had a short Australian tour happening. We were only a couple of weeks away from flying to Australia for this skate tour, and that got canceled. Then everything sort of fell like dominoes afterwards. I was supposed to be there. I was supposed to be going to Wales for Nitro Games. I was supposed to be in Vegas. I was supposed to be in Montana. And then, like I said, everything just fell off. And then it was more worry of, well, how I make a living. This is all I know.
Yeah, you probably got a few bucks. Then, you probably got a few bucks saved up, though, right, Tony?
Yeah, I'm not. I'm not trying to present otherwise. You know, of course, I live comfortably, but you know, I do feel a sense of validation in just working.
Yeah, exactly.
And so we scrambled to try to figure out what can I do? What can we do? And we started doing a lot of stuff, obviously, from my ramp, live streams, instructionals, historical context. And that started to work. And then it was like, hey, wait a second. We don't have to travel half the year.
Right.
to make a living, to be relevant or whatever it is, you know, to feel validation. It's more like, oh, we can do this stuff from here. And I guess it, in some ways that opened my eyes and made me realize. And also it gave me a sense of routine and normalcy at home that I have not had in decades.
Right. You've been go,
you know,
go.
Like, there's no way you would rely on me to be home on a Thursday that we could do this every Thursday.
Right. Yeah. You've been going nonstop since you were probably 14 years old, right? 16 years old.
Kind of. Yeah.
Touring the world, traveling the world, demos, competitions, promotional events, constant, mental stimulation, and then to just stop. But I think that's happening with a lot of people. I even think it's happening with regular business. I think, you know, I think people are going to start saying, like, geez, these Zoom meetings are pretty good. I don't think I really want to go into the office. I don't want to drive to Santa Monica to meet you anymore. Let's just do
absolutely.
It on Zoom.
My brother works at Stanford, and he's been doing everything remotely, and he knows now that whenever everything goes back to whatever on campus, in person, he's like, I don't need to be there. I can do this from home.
Skateboarding's like, at least skateboarding is an occupation that is outdoors, right? You can kind of continue skating without much changing, I'm assuming, right? Is that true, or it's
For sure, especially in the age of technology, where you know what it was like when in the 80s, 90s, if you wanted to make it as a skateboarder, you had to live in California.
Yeah.
And you had to befriend the photographers, and you had to get pictures in the magazine, or you had to win every event. Nowadays, as long as you've got something unique that's interesting, you can do it from wherever you want.
Yeah, it's wild. I'm enjoying being out in the desert. I'm enjoying it. I it's interesting. I've put, you know, this studio in the van. I basically took my podcast studio and some other cool gear and gadgets and built it into the van. And I'm finding I really am not noticing a significant difference from being at home. And it's actually sometimes like you get addicted to the movement of it all too. Just never, you know, like the freedom of just being able to go wherever you want on the road, which is pretty, pretty cool right now, you know, but yeah, so.
But don't you miss regular human interaction or like female companionship? Anything like that?
Well, yeah, I kind of miss that a little bit.
I think that's what I'm worrying. I worry for you is that you're getting into the state where you're like, well, this is just how it can be, and maybe this is how it should be, and you forget how much fun you have just hanging out with people.
Yeah, I mean that's a whole other can of worms you've opened up there, Tony. Because I just happened to be single right before the pandemic happened. You know, my girlfriend that I'd been going out with, we broke up, right, you know, like 6 months before or something. And then all of a sudden the pandemic happened, and it's kind of like, well, this is interesting. You know, you can't really go. I mean, because I'm personally taking it in a way where I'm being pretty cautious, overly more cautious than most, you know, but can't really go out on a date, you know, with somebody, you know, because where the hell have they been, you know? But it's even worse than before, you know. I'm not just worried about getting gonorrhea now, you know. It's a whole different thing. It's just like, you know, you can't even come within 12 feet of me now. You know, this is a whole other thing. So,
but
no, I'll tell you, it's actually been kind of interesting because I'm actually finding myself becoming very comfortable being alone. And this is the longest I've ever gone in my life with like being alone, you know, not hanging out with a bunch of people, not doing stand up. It's actually kind of nice. I'm actually kind of, you know, I hate to say it, but I mean, obviously the thing that's scary is, you know, you worry about society at large and how people are going to recover from all of this and how our society is going to recover from all of this. That's what sort of is stressing me out, you know?
Oh, absolutely. I was talking to a friend of mine, yesterday about you, and we were talking about how you're doing this, and he was kind of amazed at it all, and it was like, well, is he doing it because it's he's on a budget? Or I was like, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, he's Tom, and if he's going to do something like this, he's going to commit to it like Andy Kaufman.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He's going, and he's going to live it.
Yeah. I mean, it's and you know what it also is? It's like, it's just, you know, I know you're totally into tech, right? You're into like all the latest tech, and I'm into photography, and I'm into videography. I always have been, but you know, the last, you know, like I said, the last decade or so, I've been touring doing stand up, and I haven't really had time to really like dive into the latest camera and editing techniques. I sort of have, but I haven't. I've always sort of had, if I went and shot a video, I'd have someone help me edit it. I haven't been using the, and I'm kind of getting way into that. And at a certain point, it was kind of like, well, if I really want to go and take pictures of stuff or video stuff, you know, I just started feeling a little bit boring. Just, you know, like I was getting drunk in my kitchen every night and dancing around and stuff. And it's like, you know, this is kind of ridiculous. Yeah. Who the hell wants to watch this? I better go do something. So it's kind of nice to go out to places and photograph interesting things and see interesting things. Because you know, there is this sort of gap, I think, when we stop, where you kind of start to get a little stir crazy. You know, I have to keep moving, as I feel like you have to keep moving.
Oh, for sure. No, I saw your Ghost Town edit. It was awesome.
Yeah, it's wild. That's kind of what I actually wanted to ask you. I was gonna actually ask you, because you grew up in Southern California. You've probably spent a lot of time doing photos and things out in the desert. Like, have you gone out into Death Valley? Have you gone out into these sort of remote places over the years and done, is there any cool ghost towns that you know about? Cause that's kind of what I want to, my next thing, I'm going to start driving south cause it's too cold up here right now. Like, I woke up this morning and the water in the dog bowl, which I left outside, was frozen solid. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and there's no heater in the van at night. So I have an Arctic sleeping bag, and it's like it's time to drive south now. So I'm going to head to maybe Death Valley or the Mojave Desert. But did you go out into those
areas?
I've
only driven through there. I haven't really gone into the dunes or anything. Definitely. We actually drove through Mojave a couple months ago to go skate a full pipe.
I saw that on your Instagram.
Cool.
What's that full pipe called again? That's a famous pipe.
Yeah, it's not Baldy. I forgot what it's called.
Oh, okay. But did I read on your Instagram that you had never been to Baldy before, or was that wrong?
I had never been to Baldy. I did go. I went to Baldy, but this pipe I didn't even know about.
Uh-huh.
And Mike Rooftop Escamillo was the one who sourced it and said, "Hey, these guys, it's on military ground, so you gotta know someone to know someone."
Ah, did you have like a, you know, a general sort of who grew up skating?
No, it was more a guy, and his job was just to patrol that area, and it was like he was homies with someone, and it was just like, all right, you were never here.
Wow. You were never here, but by the way, the picture's on Instagram now, I'm sure, right? So
well, I didn't say where it was. I was very much told not to specify location.
Okay. Well, we won't tell anybody.
So I guess I just did. I guess I just blew the whole thing right now.
Yeah, well, you know, everybody listening, you know, don't blow up Tony's spot here on this. But so that's
You know where you should go? You know where you should go, Tom? I think it's in New Mexico.
Yeah.
There's a Flintstones park.
Okay.
With like stone Flintstone houses.
Really?
And it's been there forever. I have pictures of me there when I was 8 years old.
Wow. So it's kind of like a, like an amusement park kind of thing.
Yeah. But it's just it's the most desolate, worn down amusement park.
Right.
Almost eerie.
Yeah. Like people just don't go to the Flintstone park anymore. It's not.
Yeah, I don't even know if it's still open. I know my kids were there with their mom about 4 years ago, and I saw photos, and I was like, you guys, I was there when I was 8.
So when you go out to Baldy, let's talk about Baldy, and we'll just focus on that particular pipe. Out in the desert. Okay. It's out in the desert, right?
It's in the mountains.
Mount Baldy somewhere, I guess, right? So that's been a famous pipe forever, since back in the day, back in, you know, the Thrasher Transworld Skateboard and Magazine days back. I remember looking at people skating that pipe when I was a kid. So do you do you go like full 360 in that, or is it too big to do that? You just kind of...
Bob Burnquist did. No one else has. And he actually... He went around it a few times, never made it out clean, like would sort of fall at the bottom, and then he ended up falling from 12 o'clock and breaking his foot.
Ouch.
But he's the only one that's even been, you know, that could have ever done that.
It's kind of interesting, like, because there's, like, sort of so much to skateboarding, right? To the people listening right now who don't know about skateboarding, but there's so many elements to it, obviously. Half pipes, street, all of this different styles of skateboarding. But then there's this thing that I think that I've always loved about skateboarding is you're always kind of looking for natural phenomenon that you could skate. Like, you know, oh, we got to drive out into the middle of the desert and find this obscure location and skate that because there's a transition and it must be skated, right?
Yeah, you're right, yeah. Yeah, we drove for that other undefined full pipe. We drove 5 hours each way just to skate it. I like literally left in the morning, drove 5 hours, skate every 2 hours, drove home.
Yeah. And part of it is to skate it. Part of it is to photograph it, I guess, right? And document it and show that you've been there, right? And sort of stamp it, claim it, you know, we found this spot. Is there like a definitive guide to all of the skate spots in the world? Has anyone ever written up a book like that? Or is it just kind of all passed down through word of mouth?
There have been a few. Well, there's definitely a skate park guide. And we at the Skate Park Project helped fund an app that will guide you to skate parks. But for skate spots, that's sort of the Wild West of people trying to collect the data, but they don't have one place that it all lives.
Yeah, because I always see it like every
time.
And
also, there's a part of it that's localism too. You don't want everyone to know about the spot.
Yeah, that's right. You don't want to blow up the spot. So you just kind of keep it a secret. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like when I was watching the SpaceX launch yesterday, or the day before yesterday. Go back and look at the video of that. Right at the base of the rocket, there's like a really rad bank with a rail at the top of it.
Oh, so I actually got the opportunity. Well, it fell apart, but I was offered an opportunity to skate a missile silo from the Cold War era.
Nice.
In New Mexico.
Yeah.
And it was crazy looking. It was a huge transition, a ton of vert. It had like a spine for where each rocket was positioned.
Yeah.
And I mean, it would have been like unreal. And they wanted me to do some sort of public service announcement for nuclear energy. It was so weird. It came with this very loaded demand. Yeah.
You can skate the missile.
If we allow you to skate this, you have to do all this press. I was just like, what are you talking? It's from a missile silo from when we were going to go to war with Russia. Like, this is over.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Tony Hawk. I'm about to skate this missile silo. By the way, nuclear war is good if it's the only option, right?
Yeah.
No, I'll pass on that. But... Yeah, it's interesting because, like, what's the psychology of that, though? Because I know when you were starting to skateboard back in the, 70s, I guess, right? Late 70s?
Late 70s, yeah.
Yeah. Like, they didn't have skate parks everywhere, right? Or maybe they did in California, I don't know. But like...
There were a few when I started, and they all closed very quickly.
So you kind of, like, finding a natural thing to skate that was not just flat... was kind of a big deal, right? But now that there's skate parks everywhere, and off a lot thanks to you because of your skate park foundation, then how many skate parks have you built around the country now?
We have helped to fund over 900 now.
900 skate parks, right? And when I'm driving around in my van, I see probably a lot of these skate parks in these small towns. And I was driving through New Mexico, you know, today, and I think it was a couple days ago, I saw the skate park. One kid there skating the park. He was practicing. I was at a red light. I'm looking at him. I'm thinking, man, when I was a kid, like, we didn't have a skate park like that. He had it all to himself. And I was thinking, that's amazing. But, you know, there must be, do you think younger skaters still get excited about a natural skate spot, or do they not even understand? Do they just think, oh no, we'll just go skate at the park. We don't have to go skate the weird random ditch somewhere.
I think there's all kinds of attitudes.
Mm-hmm.
And we were so desperate for anything that we were seeking that stuff out because we didn't have anything else. But there's definitely a collective of skaters and skate attitude that they don't want a photo in a skate park. They want the photo on the bank that's in front of the big federal building. You know what I mean? Like, it's got to be the forbidden zones or the places that we're not meant to skate, because that's the cool factor.
Right.
So there's definitely a very passionate sector of skaters that's all they want to do.
Yeah, it's
so
cool.
That still exists, but then there are plenty of skaters that are perfectly happy at that made for skating facility, skate park, going there every day.
Yeah. Cause it's cool. It's kind of like the art of it it's probably one of the, it's probably the only sport like that, right? Where the art of the sport, it's not just a sport, it's an art, right? It's not, you know, it's not even just about the sport itself. It's about the photography and the travel and the lifestyle and the experience and being out with your friends and going and doing cool things and going to places that you would never go otherwise.
Absolutely. And the culture, and also the thing that people don't understand who don't skate is that there's such a community, and it's its own support group. And so if you're trying to learn something or overcome something, everyone rallies behind you because they get just as excited to see you overcome that as they do to do it themselves.
I love how you do so much amazing work to help people, not just with your skate park foundation, but I see you skating with a lot of handicapped skateboarders on your Instagram, which I just think is a beautiful thing. And the joy that you bring to people who get to skate with you, and also seeing what you're doing in Afghanistan. Is it Afghanistan? You're building skate parks there?
With Skatistan, yeah. Skatistan.
Yeah. I just think it's an incredible thing because, you know, I know for me how much of an impact skateboarding had on me as a kid growing up in Canada, and it kind of gave me a connection with the rest of the world. And like you said, community and culture, and you kind of feel like you're part of something, and you feel like, you know, you can almost imagine how skateboarding, if it's spread worldwide as it has, but even into the places that it doesn't exist because of, you know, economic reasons or because they don't have pavement and all of this stuff, you could almost see how it could be kind of something that could really help the world, really help humanity connect. What is it about like a board with wheels? Is it just we kind of like relate to it because we all sort of understand, you know, how gravity works? Is that what it is? I mean, why is it that I think it was on your Instagram today. I saw, it might have been Brazil. You saw a picture of some people had made their own skateboards out of, you know,
Yeah, that's off the coast of Portugal. I think it's because it's not only is it a vehicle, but there's so much possibility with it, and there's a sense of freedom and motion, and I think that there's an exhilaration that comes with just the pure act of skating, because you're just standing, but at the same time you're in complete control of your emotions and your destiny and your direction, and you can fly. What I mean? And I feel like there isn't much else that's like that. Bikes for sure, but they're a little more cumbersome from the get-go.
It's just amazing that, like, in Afghanistan, where you would think they wouldn't even care to skateboard because, you know, it's just you know, they're probably doing something else that we don't care about. You know, it's just completely foreign thing. But no, they love it. They love it just the way I loved it when I was a kid, the way you loved it when you were a kid, when you ripped apart a pair of roller skates and hammered them onto a 2x4 and tried to see if you could, you know, for some reason, you know, in the 70s, I did that. I broke up a pair of metal roller skates and screwed them onto a 2x4 because I think I saw it on TV or something. And I thought, yeah. You know, it's like, why was I so intrigued by riding on a board with wheels? I could have just stuck the roller skates on and gone down the road. But no, I had to rip the skates apart and put them on a board. Why was that appealing to me? I don't know. But there's something that must be just sort of a natural instinctive thing for that to be appealing. Cause you know, I was just up in, I'm in New Mexico now, but I was just up further in Chaco Canyon, which is this incredible, Native American ruins built in the year 850. And, it's this beautiful canyon, massive stone structure. And I'm walking through it and I'm photographing it and I'm there by myself and I'm feeling like, wow, this was here, you know, some, possibly almost 1,000 years before Columbus, definitely, you know, a long time before, you know, Europeans discovered, quote unquote, you know, America. And the buildings are built exactly the same way that buildings are built in Europe. You know, they're stone. It's built exactly the same way. And you go, how did they know how to build that like that? It's sort of the same thing. It's like, how do human beings want to ride on a board with wheels on the other side of the world? Why? How does that happen? Right.
It's amazing. But that's, you know, it's the whole do it yourself attitude, and I feel like skating has been born from that. Yeah. And there's so much about believing in yourself and the sort of confidence and self-realization that can come from doing something like skating, because you're not relying on the team, you're not relying on a coach to make you go do it. It's all on you. And yeah. Then you can create your own challenges. And I think that really can help kids find a sense of themselves if nothing else speaks to them.
Yeah. Do you think you will be skateboarding in 20 years?
I think that if I'm able to stand, I'll want to stand on a skateboard. I don't think maybe I'll be doing it in public so much.
Yeah. Because it's amazing watching you skate. I mean, it's because you do it every day. You're just like the healthiest guy, right? You've got like you're just so fit. You're so in shape. You're an athlete. For me, I mean, I used to think I would never ever see a day where I wouldn't be skateboarding all the time. But now I'm kind of like I'm a little bit afraid. Like I didn't bring a skateboard with me on this trip. Somebody asked me in the comments, why didn't you bring a skateboard on the trip? It's because I'm by myself with my dog, okay? If I wipe out...
You got her, it'd be a problem.
If I wipe out and hit my head and I'm passed out, it's like, okay, Charlie's off getting eaten by the coyotes and I'm, you know, vultures are, you know, pecking my eyeballs out. There's nobody here to help me. So, but, you know, I think that probably a younger me would have looked at myself and said that I sold out by not bringing my skateboard and my van with me. So what am I going to do? Getting old, Tony. I'm getting old.
Yeah, I think you're in a very unique situation. It's okay. You get a pass.
Yeah. Well, it's I'm having a great time, and you know, it's maybe when this thing is over and you go on your next RV trip, I'll follow you guys, and we'll go hit some skate parks or something like that. So then, when I fall and break my arm or whatever, you guys can call the ambulance for me.
If you end up here on the West Coast and you want some human interaction, I'll meet you up in Mammoth and we could go snowboarding.
Oh, we got to do that again. Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Are you going to be hitting the slopes soon or?
I'm trying to go in January for sure. We didn't get to go this month because of chaos and kids were still in school, but I'm planning to go January and I got all the gear you need up there. So,
oh, that's amazing. Go. That's amazing. All right. I will.
You can bring your dog too.
Yeah, that's amazing. Okay, Tony. Yeah, that sounds incredible. How are the ski hills like handling this COVID thing? I mean, I guess it's an outdoor thing, right?
I think
Mammoth
is at a smaller capacity.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's no lineups then.
No lineups, exactly.
Yeah, sweet. Okay,
but I got the line on passes. So
damn,
let's hit it.
Okay, dope. That's incredible, Tony. I'm gonna take you up on that. That's so cool. We'll talk about that later, Tony. Thank you for calling. I appreciate it. What are you going to be doing the next few weeks on your Instagram? Any big things that are coming up online? You've got your new video games out, right? New game?
Yeah, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2, the remaster of the originals. I've been doing a couple things, but they're not really announced yet. So, I've been working. I've been hustling.
Amazing.
I'm going to be on a big game show soon. I can say that.
Oh, all right. All right. It's amazing. You're always hustling, Tony. You're always hustling.
I'm trying.
All right. Thanks, man. I appreciate it. And
yeah, Tom.
I'll talk to you soon. All right, Tony. Thanks so much.
All right.
You're awesome, man.
Stay safe out there.
Yeah, appreciate it. Okay. Yeah. Thanks, Tony. You too. Love you, man. Talk to you later.
Okay. Love you.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. Well, that was super cool. Thank you, Tony. I really appreciate it. I mean, to me, it's just so cool to be able to call Tony Hawk my friend. I grew up skateboarding and idolizing the guy. You know, not to embarrass you, Tony, but you know, everybody idolized you growing up. Skaters around the world have looked up to this man for 30 plus years, and be able to have him call into the show and hang out with us is just still somewhat surreal for me, even though we've gotten to know each other really well. Super cool. And, you know, I feel like being out here in nature and going through this crazy year has, I think, brought me, I think, more in touch with my emotions. You know, as I said at the end of the interview, I love you, Tony. I do love you, Tony. Thank you. You know, you really did change my life in so many ways, you know. I mean, I was a skinny kid. Tony was a skinny kid. I grew my hair like his when I was in, I tried to anyways. It wasn't quite nearly as cool. I looked like the flock of seagulls, new wave haircut. I used to dress like Tony. Obviously, I couldn't skate like Tony, but... So it's amazing. So you know what? Everybody out there, tell people how you feel. That's all I'm saying. Everybody, thank you as well for listening. And please share this with your social media and with your friends. And you can go into the actual show and take the clip, or you can share the link and tweet it out there, Facebook it out there, Instagram it out there. Let people know about the Tom Green interview. And follow me on YouTube as well. Subscribe there. You can watch what I'm doing and follow along on Instagram as well. Okay. Thanks, everybody. See you next week. Bye. Hi. New Mexico. Tichy. It's like this. Man, I'm living in a van. 2020 had me locked up, understand? Now following the plan. When I spit, you say damn. I rock another jam. I know you're feeling it, fam. Peel it back, reveal it again. Spin round like a ceiling fan. I let loose like they call me Bruce. You smell funky, I'm sweet like spruce. I'm the top gun, I rock a shotgun. Don't laugh, man, just run. You little prick, you're done. Dopest MC under the sun. And I intend the pun, just having fun. You call me if you in a crunch. I chew up MCs for lunch. And then get drunk, you're just a punk. You get beat down, I'm a lyrical freak now. Shut your mouth, don't speak now. I'm starting to tweak now. You'll never peak now. That I'm booming in your cheek now. I'm feeling fleek now. You up shit creek now. Automatic. When I rhyme, it's tragic. Take away your magic. Nah, man, you never had it. Silly rabbit. I see something I want, I just grab it. Never let go, never let you have it.
Now you're wasted. I'm going big now. I can taste it. You won't catch me. You could chase it. I'm unpredictable. You just an old script. Wrote this in the morning before I took a shit and then got lit. No drama, mama. Just another hit. What you see is what you get. Yeah. What you see is what you get. Yeah. What you see is what you get. TG. What you see is what you get. I'm TG. What you see is what you get. Yeah. Huh.
Y'all, I'm Uncle Drank, star of The Ballad of Uncle Drank. It is a scripted musical podcast about the life and times of me, fictional golf and western country music pioneer, Uncle Drank. The series also stars Luke Wilson, Brian Kelly, Chelsea Lynn, Kinky Friedman, and Billy Zane as a talking blender named Blendy. You can find The Ballad of Uncle Drank on SiriusXM, Pandora, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.